Because it's true. Once you figure something out, you really can't do it again.
Fair enough. All right, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 89.
Wow.
I'm your host, Lawrence of America. And today with me is...
Adam.
Jules.
All right. And you notice that was a really short introduction. There's only three of us here, but...
For clarification, there will be no motorcycles in this episode.
I know some of you are disappointed.
Hey, man, Ghost Racers came out this week.
Yeah, you know what? And they all drive cars. So we're okay. There's one motorcycle maybe in that. And we're not even talking about that particular Ghost Rider. We're only going to talk about the guys in cars.
You know, I'm going to start off now. I was perusing the new wall. The new Starfire comic came out. Now, I haven't read it, but looking at the cover, it's everything that people have been complaining about them doing to Starfire.
They've done it.
They've done worse.
Again.
It very much implies that I'm holding a porn in my hand. I mean, I would expect this to be a cover of a DVD that I bought in an adult bookstore.
I can't say it's too far off the mark.
All right, so in the background, you got all these characters just oogling and ogling. You got this old man being beat by his old lady or yanked by the ear away from his old lady. And I say old because they are clearly senior citizens.
Yeah. Staring at her as she's walking by.
We've got some young guy about to walk into a pole. All right. We got a police lady that is so mesmerized she's embarrassed. A fireman in the background who's just dazed and confused. And then some guy by her knees holding what appears to be a sawed-off shotgun.
What? Wait, let me see the cover again. I can see that. Let me see.
Or it's the end of a fire hose, stroking it gently.
What? Hand that to me.
Here's the worst part.
It gets worse than that. Yeah. This is pretty rough.
Right, so there's this little blonde girl on there. All sad and depressed, looking down her shirt, going, why don't I have boobs like this?
What? Okay, hand that to me.
I know we have enough, and the comic industry has enough problems with...
This is everything that is wrong with it. You thought the Spider-Woman cover was bad, this is pretty bad.
I mean, like, all the characters...
You think that Batgirl cover was rough? This is rough. And no one has complained about this. The way those two covers were complained about. This is...
Now, admittedly, she's not as endowed as Power Girl, but...
This is pretty rough. This is pretty rough.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. That is...
Well, if you actually look at that cover, I every one of it, it's... And the guy sound... It's... The artist signed their name Christopher Mounts
and Connor.
Connor Mounts. Is Mounts his real name?
The colors is Mounts. Yes, Amanda Connor drew this cover.
I get they're supposed to be all.
And Paul Mounts did the art. I mean, the colors. I would agree. This is a pretty rough cover.
I mean,
Amanda Connor, what the heck, man? I don't know why you think this was going to be okay for, like, anybody. And you know, and the worst part about it is Starfire is a character on a kid's cartoon, Teen Titans Go. So if you take a little kid to a comic book store and the only thing they know is Teen Titans Go, they're going to look at this cover and be like, what?
That's the other thing. Yeah, Teen Titans Go is a very popular
kids cartoon.
And really, she's not in. Like, I had a little girl coming in just the other day asking about Starfire. And I wouldn't want to give that to a 7-year-old girl. I'd be afraid she'd have body image issues growing up reading that shit.
Right. And, you know, and that's always been a struggle. For us comic book readers. Just like guys and girls. Like, guys, none of us will ever be ripped for some reason how Peter Parker is ripped. Peter Parker is as nerdy as the rest of us.
I will never look like Superman.
I will never, look like. Even for some reason,
like the block.
Even old Cap.
Even old Cap has got his back, and I know. Old man Logan is more ripped than I will ever be, and he's like 300 years old. So, yes, there's always been body issues in comic books for guys,
especially for women, though.
But especially for women.
I will say this is a step up from Starfire, from Red Hood and the Outlaws, because yes, that was straight up
just a bikini. She just
that,
wore a
that was straight up. Okay. That could be in a porn mag.
Yes. But so I would agree the costume has gotten less revealing.
But
it's... Yeah. The cover alone does it a whole disservice.
It looks weird when I tell them that. But I don't like Batman.
So, I mean... And this goes back to my original argument, probably on the first or second podcast. Let's just give them pants. Give Wonder Woman pants, which they finally did again. That's right, guys. New Wonder Woman is wearing pants, as Jules once proudly predicted in like the second or third episode of this podcast.
Oh, man, pants.
Pants. You remember that argument? Remember us arguing about pants? I do. Because Gomer didn't let it go. But yes, give him pants. Let it go.
You know, the cover is, I guess, you could say, making fun of.
Yeah, and it could
and
be
I would give them all, but the little blonde girl looking yes down upset. That
alone
too
makes
far
it rough. That I agree. That makes it just a and little too far. A little bit.
You know, I mean.
So walking away as she is from this cover, Secret Wars has been stellar.
It has been pretty great so far.
It has been pretty great.
It has.
And you know what? It kind of makes sense now that we got Original Sin and Axis because they were so bad that Secret Wars feels like the best event I've read in a long time.
Since Infinity.
Since Infinity. And Infinity was wonderful.
Infinity was fantastic.
Infinity, I said it when it came out. You can go back through our old catalog and know that it was, in my opinion, the best Marvel event of our generation. I take it back. If Secret Wars continues to go the way it is, it could be that.
Well, Infinity is really just
really
a prequel,
taking
too.
It back.
Well, it's not exactly because
this is a new event. Yes. It's that comic. Yeah.
But, and it's the same writer. And
well, Infinity's just a prelude, too.
Yes, because Secret Wars makes no sense if you didn't read Infinity.
Yeah.
He had to take all the heavy hitters out. And I realize that now Infinity was him taking out all of the heavy hitters, but Thanos. And it's good. It's really good. I think I've been more impressed by the tie-ins being so good.
Those that haven't read Infinity, give me a quick summary of Infinity.
Okay, Infinity is...
You can't give a quick summary.
No, you know, I got this. I got this. All right, Infinity in 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Five... Hey,
that's
man.
Not a quick summary.
Okay, Infinity in 3 minutes.
All right,
there's some...
minutes. Starting,
and it's the same old story. It's somewhat uninspired story.
But now, our entire universe was put together by these guys called the Builders, the Map Makers, and the Cartographers, and the Engineers. They've decided our universe sucks, so they're gonna start destroying everything. Meanwhile, Thanos realizes he has to kill the last of his children in order to finally pay tribute to his lover, Death. He realizes the last major kids are the Inhumans, so they're somewhere on Earth. He's gonna go to Earth. The Avengers hear about the Builders, the Engineers, and the Cartographers, and they're like, we gotta go stop them. The Avengers leave Earth, Thanos comes to Earth. The last of the heroes on Earth make a stand against Thanos, while the rest of the Avengers are helping save the universe with every other Universal character you've ever seen. The Guardians, the Kree, the Skrull. It comes to a big climax when the Avengers realize what's going back on Earth, as they try to make it back in time before Thanos can wipe out Earth's heroes.
2 minutes.
Turns out, Thane, the son of Thanos, was an Inhuman and stops Thanos in his tracks. The Avengers make it back in time to save the day, but they lose so much on the way there. Chunks of the Kree and Skrull Empire are completely diminished. Most of the major powers in the universe are left weak except for the Avengers, so everyone takes under the Avengers banner and become Avengers Worlds. That was the end of Infinity.
Okay, so that was actually a lot less. That was about a minute and a half.
That's pretty much what happens in Infinity. A lot more awesome stuff happens.
A lot more happens.
Right, but that's what you need to know.
Yes,
going
that's
into
basic.
World.
That's the basic gist of what happens.
All
right, I skipped to like all of the Illuminati stuff because you should just read it. That part I skipped just because read it because it's so good.
And so going into Secret War, we're in what? Issue 3
issue
came
three
out
is
last
week. Last
week.
And it was the big reveal, I guess is what you could call it.
It had a lot of reveal moments.
A lot was given away in this issue.
Yes.
So, now...
A lot of things were uncovered.
Yes. So issue
if
one
you
was...
just read the main Secret Wars title, are you going
to
get the
oh,
whole
yeah,
story?
You'll get the whole story.
You'll get the whole story.
What's cool about the tie-ins is they don't rely on the main story the way most tie-ins do. The big problem with most tie-ins during an event is it gives you the characters you're reading on your own, and it gives you their point of view in the big event. And so it's typically hindered because you have to read that book and the big event to know half of what they're talking about. And even then, the tie-in feels cheap because you could just see what they're doing in the big event, not really care about their book. So typically, the tie-ins are a total waste of time. Total waste of time. And in this one, it's the total opposite. You could read all the tie-ins and not even read the main story.
And would you know what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
all the
tie-ins
are their own little world.
They're all
completely
self-contained.
The cool thing about Battleworld is it's a planet where every country is a different universe. And you're not allowed to go into the country next to yours because you probably couldn't handle what it would be like if you went from the United States to Mexico and there's a wholly different version of Larry who's had a totally different life, but he's you all the same. You would probably lose your mind if you realize every country has a version of you you haven't met yet. So there are giant borders. And the only people who are really allowed to cross the borders are every version of Thor, as he's made them his knights. Brilliant! It's just, he took the Marvel Universe, ended it, and said, you know what's cool? Game of Thrones. You know what's even cooler? High science fiction. You know what I'm gonna do? All of that. And so they all worship the god Doom. That is the only thing that's consistent in every universe is they all worship the god King Doom. Some of them are in the future, some of them are in the past, some of them are in the present, some of them are on wholly different worlds. The only thing they have in common is they all worship Doom, and Doom's word is law. And so, like, it's a brilliant way to present that, I have to say.
I'm off on Mondays too, so I might stop it on Monday.
Okay. Now, the argument that was being had here earlier before this podcast was that this is the Lord of the Rings in comic book form.
I can almost see that.
I could see that.
I can see that. It's It has a lot of lore.
I'd say more Game of Thrones than Lord of the Rings.
The thing about Secret Wars that makes it so interesting is each country, being a different timeline or whatever, has its own lore, has its own history, completely separate from the next country over's history. Like I said, some of them are in 1802. 1602 is one of the worlds.
Yeah.
And the one nearest it is 2099. So one is very futuristic, and one is...
1602.
Yeah, 1602, medieval. So, it's like, here is this medieval world, well, they still worship God, dude. That's still a thing. Probably more so for them. 2099, yes. And they all have a baron. That's the other cool thing. Each world's... The leader of the world is a baron who reports directly to Doom, which he makes sure that all the barons are different people. Like, you can't have two different She-Hulks be barons, because they'll eventually meet, and you want to avoid that.
Interesting.
It's pretty good, man, and each of them are very self-contained, very different.
So what's your favorite tie-in so far?
Planet Hulk was pretty cool. But I wouldn't say it was my favorite.
Mine is Master of Kung Fu. That's just because old school Kung Fu movies are like my favorite genre of movie. And that is basically just an old school Kung Fu movie in comic book form.
I would say I really like Atalan Rising because it's like a mob movie, and I love mob movies.
I mean, Black Bolt owns a club called
Wyatt.
Wait.
So you're Cuban? Right?
Yes.
And
I like mob movies. Got to go
back.
And I'm a huge Inhumans fan, which we've all known and established many a times. And the fact that...
Do you have a Scarface poster on your wall?
Yeah. The world is yours.
Adam just became so much cooler.
Why? Oh,
because of Master Kung Fu.
Yeah. Yes, we were talking about Masters of Kung Fu. Yeah, and Adam Wright are probably my two favorites right now. Masters of Kung Fu is brilliant. It's brilliant because it is a Kung Fu comic book in the middle of all this crazy science fiction.
Right, it definitely seems to be a totally different genre, so, you know.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about Secret Wars right now is you could have Masters of Kung Fu while Atalan Rising is happening, while A-Force and Marvel Zombies. Oh, and the Wall. The Wall is one of the coolest parts of Secret Wars.
The Wall and the Shield?
Yes. So, Doom, when he put together Battleworld, couldn't help but bring in all the awful things that have existed in every version of the Marvel Universe. The Marvel Zombies, Ultrons.
You are quite correct. Very awful.
The symbiotes.
Marvel Zombies was always the stupidest idea. Why it caught on and why everybody loved it, I have yet.
Because Warren Ellis created it in the Ultimate FF run, and everyone loved Warren Ellis at the time. They're like, Warren Ellis could do no wrong. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to write the book, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to give that to Robert Kirkman.
Yeah. And then it was terrible.
He writes zombie stuff.
But the cool thing about The Wall and the Shield are is there's this pretty much Antarctica. Is the worst of the Marvel Universe. Venoms, the symbiotes, all those guys, the Ultrons, which you see in Age of Ultron, you know he has lots of drones or whatever. And the Marvel Zombies. All of the awful things are in this giant chunk of the world. And if you ever break God Doom's law, you are put on the Shield, which is this big wall where you protect the rest of Battleworld from all the awful things. So don't break his law. Nobody wants to go to the Shield. Nobody wants to be on the wall protecting everyone from all these two. Because nobody comes back. Nobody comes
so,
back.
So, speaking of Marvel, and since I just brought Robert Kirkman a second ago.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes. Oh, this is
bring
a good
up the other big news.
Yes.
A little interesting segue. So, Marvel has announced that in Daredevil Season 2, the Punisher will be in it. And the Punisher is the guy who played Shane in the first two seasons of The Walking Dead.
Good choice.
I can see that.
Yeah. That's what he pretty much plays Frank Castle in The Walking Dead at the end there. Pretty much plays the crazy dude who has the best plan.
And is not afraid to shoot
anybody. And is not afraid to kill anybody. So.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. He doesn't necessarily have the best plan, because his plan...
No, his plan would have gotten them all killed.
Yeah, his plan would have gotten them all killed, but that's Frank Castle.
Well...
In his mind...
Really, it was self-serving.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That is the Punisher. The Punisher, is that self-serving guy who will always pick the suicide mission.
He's not killing everyone to make the world a better place. He's killing everyone for his own... sense of revenge for them.
At the same time, hoping he gets murdered at some point in time doing all this. Every mission is a suicide mission for the Punisher because he doesn't want to live anymore. But at the same time, he wants to take out as many people as he can on the way out.
He's just too much of a badass.
Yeah, exactly. You just can't help but kill everybody. But of all the actors they've talked to play the Punisher, that's a good call. It's a good call. I'm amazed they didn't land Jason Statham to play Bullseye.
I mean, it would have been casting choice, but...
Jason's also not a great actor.
Jason Statham seems
is
like
busy
he's a,
making
he's a
Transporter 48.
Yeah, he's a very busy guy, and I think he's above the Marvel pay grade.
I think he's above the television Marvel pay grade. I think if Daredevil is a
movie
character...
I don't know. Marvel movies are still... They don't like to pay their actors.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. That they get them for these long contracts.
Yes. So you have to get somebody cheap.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have them for like six movies.
Right. And so you get... By the time it's the end of that... I mean, look at... Robert Downey Jr. probably commands a lot more than he makes for Iron Man nowadays.
Yeah.
Or at least
than he made for the first Iron Man.
Yeah, well, yeah, because his career was not very well at the time. And now he's...
Well, look at Chris Hemsworth. Before Thor, he was a nobody. Nobody. And now...
He was a soap actor.
Yeah, he was a soap actor. And
now, I don't know if they will renew his contract at the end because he costs so damn much.
Yeah. The biggest thing he had done before Thor was die in the beginning of Star Trek.
Yep. That is so true. Yeah, you're totally right. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he's Kirk's dad.
Yeah.
He dies in that opening scene. He's all skinny. And that's it. And he became Thor and... Now he's in all sorts of movies all the time.
See, the only thing I can really non-Marvel I can remember him from is the Red Dawn remake.
Right, but he had already done Thor at that point.
Yeah,
and Cabin in the Woods.
Oh yeah, Cabin in the Woods. That's probably the best non-Marvel
thing, which he did also after Thor, though.
I loved Cabin in the Woods.
He has the best scene in the movie. The motorcycle.
The motorcycle.
Oh, we're not going
to. No. We can't talk about motorcycles.
Oh, you're right. We can't. But we can't talk about Chris Hemsworth dying being the funniest part of the movie. I laughed so hard in that movie that I had to see it again because I couldn't stop laughing till the end of the movie. Because it was so fun. Just him just hitting that one thing on the way down.
The tumbling just down.
Loved it. So funny. So funny. Joss Whedon is a really funny guy. But
he does really good with the fanboy. He should do a series of like
just fanboy things. Movies. Yes. Yeah, I mean, he should make a fanboy series. Did you ever see that movie, Fanboy?
Fanboys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joss Whedon could write a series just like that all the time. Just Star Wars nerds geeking out about Star Wars things all the time, or comic book nerds. He could write a series where it's just comic book nerds doing stupid things. And I would watch it. I would probably watch it. Because I would get all the jokes, it would be really well timed, and nothing would happen. Except your favorite character would die at the end of every season. That's what you should do. You should start a series with 10 characters, and at the end of the 5th season, no one's alive. At all. Just keep, like, 2 a season. That's it. Everyone dies. And that's what it should be called. Joss Whedon's Everyone Dies. I'm serious.
That's Hickman's thing, though. Everybody dies in Hickman stuff.
Yeah, also, but he doesn't kill a character.
I know this because I just reread the whole thing, and they did that everybody dies speech at least 20 times. Yes. That entire
everything run. Dies. Well, yeah, you never heard that joke? George R. R. Martin, Jonathan Hickman, and Joss Whedon walk into a bar, and everyone you know and love dies. They would, though. They would kill them all. They would kill them all.
I've heard it without the Jonathan Hickman.
You can do that with any major comic book writer.
Yeah, I always hear that with R.R. Martin and Joss Whedon. Yeah.
Well, some people do Alan Moore, I do Hickman. Yeah. Alan Moore is not really relevant anymore.
No.
He killed all your favorite people so long ago, it doesn't even matter. I'm over Rorschach's death, finally. It only took me 20 years, but I'm over it, finally. It makes
that's
sense
his
now.
His whole plot
is Rorschach dying.
Right.
Well, same thing in V for Vendetta. It's V dying. V is like the whole point of that story is V dies at the end. Or From
Spoiler
Hell.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen that movie or read that comic book, which have both been out for at least a decade,
yeah.
You are messing up, and this is not the
really,
podcast for you.
Really good.
Yeah. Or From Hell. The guy who investigates Jack the Ripper dies at the end. That was the whole point of that story. That's not what you wanted to get caught up in. In fact, I think every Alan Moore book has the main character dying at the end almost. Every arc of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, somebody died.
Yeah.
It was typically the person who was the catalyst for the story. What else did he write?
Well, in the League of Gentlemen, Extraordinary Gentlemen movie...
Yes, the main character dies. Yeah.
At the end.
Yes. My problem with that movie is so, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the comic book, was really cool because every story arc was a different generation of the League. And the movie was a hodgepodge. They took one of every major character from the League throughout, I think it was like 50 years of the League, and then put them in one story. Free the Comic Book, it makes no sense because Nemo was in the league at a totally different time as the Invisible Man.
Right, right.
Like, Nemo was in, like, one of the first generations of the league. That's the thing, is, like, that was what made the book so cool, was you got a different league every arc. And then they're like, let's take the best memory of every league, let's put them in one movie, and let's just crap on it. Let's just take a really big deuce and call it League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I mean, probably the reason Alan Moore hates all the movies is because of that one. That one alone would make me hate movies, too. Like, wait, you took my comic book and you made this? You could defecate on my face for less money than what it took to make this one, this movie. That's how bad that movie is to me. Come on, man. Sean Connery out of the prime? Not even close to the prime. We're talking about Sean Connery drinking prune juice, like Sean Connery. Just so far removed from anything you wanted that actor to do, in a role where he has to do more than pretend to be Russian. No. No. No, I don't want it. No. I don't even know anybody else in that movie.
Yeah, no, that's
all. Exactly my point. So your top billed actor was an out of prime actor?
No. I mean, well,
you couldn't get Clint Eastwood? Clint Eastwood would have been a better role for that character. And he's not even British. That's exactly my point. This is exactly my point. The movie's terrible. The movie is the reason most...
I don't think Clint Eastwood should be in anything. Anything nowadays.
And neither should Sean Connery, but he was in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Look, all I'm saying about that movie is I can understand why Alan Moore won't watch another comic book movie again.
Well, I say it all the time, you know, comic book movies are for people who aren't fans of that comic book. You know.
And imagine being the writer.
Yeah,
I Brubaker liked Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier was a great movie.
Winter Soldier was a great movie and does a really good job of actually telling the story he told in Cap at the time. That was the cool thing about that.
Alan Moore's just a bitter old soul now.
He hates
everything. Hates everyone.
Alan Moore's spirit animal has to be Cthulhu. Like, have you ever seen Alan Moore? He looks like what Cthulhu would look like as a human being. He's got this, like, dready beard. He's, like, really big and he wears, like... Remember those things they used to sell at Hot Topic? The little metal, like, claw things you put on each finger? He wears one on every finger. He looks like the Mandarin's fat uncle. As Iron Man, I have all 9 rings back together and I'm coming for you. That's what Alan Moore looks like to me. But he doesn't sound like that. I wish he'd sounded like that. Because I could maybe, like, listen to him without being creeped out. Alan Moore is British Rorschach. Like, that's what his voice sounds like. He's got this really mean, gruff... all he does is take 20 cigarettes and lights them at once and just puffs. Like, sounds disturbingly mean. Like, you could just tell. And he's, like, if you grew up with Alan Moore, he was an a-hole in the weirdest way. You're like, oh, you're wearing those shoes today. What's wrong with my shoes? I just wouldn't wear those. And you don't know why you're so offended and hurt. You're like, but I love these shoes. You're never going to wear them again. You don't know why the 7-year-old just told you about your shoes. But you're like, because that's what Alan Moore sounded like when he was 7, too, by the way. He just sounds perpetually.
He came out of the womb, smoking camel straights.
Yeah.
Alan Moore's journal. Started the first grade today.
Escaped the Grover area of Bastille.
I imagine little Alan Moore in the first grade beating another child senseless with, like, the tray. It says, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. Oh, Alan Moore. He is terrifying, though.
So what you're saying is Watchmen is an autobiography.
Watchmen is actually Alan Moore's autobiography.
All right, so... No, I think we're on to gold here. I think I would read that comic.
That's actually going to be my new hit series, Lil' Alan Moore. The Adventures of Lil' Alan Moore. He just hates everything. And he wears, like... I like the idea of him wearing bright colors because he hates black. So common.
So petty.
It's like, what? Why does that even... I'm
so
serious. He would be that guy that makes goth kids feel terrible about their day.
Oh, you listen to the Smiths. Typical.
What? No, but they get our feelings.
You have feelings? Human.
Alan Moore would be that guy. Just imagine, like, college years Alan Moore would be the best thing to read. He does no drugs. He doesn't drink. He just sits and stares at a wall and says,
good.
And that's it. That's all he does all day long is just sit and eats a sandwich. A good British sandwich.
Bacon. Good.
And we're talking about that nasty British bacon. It's just ham. I don't know why they call it bacon. It's just ham. Yes, that's what Alan Moore does all day long, guys. Especially
when I see somebody tripping or whatever, you want to see something melt.
Yeah, exactly.
Flamethrower.
No, I just imagine Alan Moore just be like,
sets all his stuff on fire.
You want to see something really, really cool?
And he just like goes into his pocket, and hands you a sheet of paper completely blank, and then just stabs you, and just walks away.
Their
time,
it's crazy.
You know, unjustly by somebody. Dude, I'm telling you, Alan Moore had to be the most disturbing human being to be around.
Alright, so then the guy bleeds on the paper, he takes it.
Yeah, he takes it,
turns it in as a report.
I would hate to be Alan Moore's teacher. Oh, shit.
Titled The Meaning of Life.
Yeah. Have you ever read any of Alan Moore's books? They are out there, man. And I'm telling you, he doesn't do any drugs, he doesn't drink, he just writes the trippiest stuff all the time. Alan Moore lives in the Sandman universe. Like, every day Alan Moore experiences someone else's dream. And just hates it. Hates it all. But I digress. But yes, that would be, I am writing that series now. Lil Alan Moore. He's just so broody.
Let's make it happen.
And he'll have a full beard, too. He'll have the full Cthulhu beard as a child. Little Alan Moore. His little metal claws. Do you actually know what Alan Moore looks like?
Yes.
I was like...
I've seen
it's not as funny if you haven't seen his face.
Yeah, where he's like looking down and he's like... It looks... But I mean, kind of like what you'd imagine an alcoholic goth kid in his 60s.
Yes, he looks so he has the claws, worn down.
Huge bags under his eyes.
Dude, I'm telling you, he looks like human Cthulhu.
Eyebrows. I mean,
he looks like human Cthulhu. He just... I can't tell you why people would... He is so scary looking. He looks like Rasputin. Like, I think Rasputin.
I could see that. Except for there's somebody that looks a little bit more like Rasputin.
I don't know, man. That's pretty... He's just a scary looking guy, man. He looks evil. That's the first human being I could say, like, he looks like he would murder my children. He'd write a really cool story about it. And I would probably read it.
I lost my kids, but darn it, this is a great story.
Yeah, but no, seriously. He's the only comic book writer I've ever heard that says that comic books are the only medium we should coexist with. He believes in comic books that much that he thinks books aren't even worth it anymore.
But he writes books.
I know, that's my point, because he can't find an artist to work with anymore.
All right. Now, the guy that I'm thinking of is Aubrey de Grey.
Is it just Rasputin? Oh, it is just Rasputin.
No, he looks... he is a British researcher that looks dead on like Rasputin.
And, of course, they're both British. They're probably brothers. It's probably Rasputin. It's probably the same guy.
And if you do a Google image search... Put in Aubrey de Grey, AUBREY space DE space GREY / Rasputin.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
It's perfect. And they've got pictures side by side, and it's creepy. Now, and of course, what the guy studies is how to end aging.
No way.
Yeah, no, that's his field of study.
No.
Is ending aging.
No way. You are no. No, 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 no. That's a really... Is that a joke?
No, no. That's like here's his TED Talks profile. Crusader against aging. I mean, that is like legitimately his thing. Is he believes there's somebody alive right now, if you watch his TED Talk, that will be immortal. Or... He thinks, okay, because you can cure everything. Age is treating it like a disease, and the one thing they don't know how to cure right now is brain deterioration. He thinks once you figure out how to rejuvenate the brain cells or keep them from deteriorating, you will eventually be able to live forever.
This is...
Or for thousands of years.
So Hellboy 3 comes out when?
I don't know.
They're trying.
I know. I hear this guy. I'm like, Hellboy 3. Okay, cool. Rasputin's still alive. Got it. I'm digging it. This is great PR work. Great. They are in the field.
It's a legitimate TED Talks thing.
That is absurd. That just blew my mind. That guy really exists. That guy really.
So if Rasputin is still alive, he is the guy.
Can I just say, I want to take a moment to say, thank gosh we are not talking about motorcycles right now.
You keep bringing them up, though.
I know, but you know what? Because you know, it almost feels like I've heard them so much that just they linger, just revving their engines in the back of my mind with Kathy Griffin on a motorcycle. Kathy Griffin on a motorcycle right now.
All
right.
So now,
so
the website totally looks like is where you find that picture.
Okay.
Of Rasputin and Aubrey de Guerre.
So, moving on, in other news, doesn't Fear come out? Is it this month or next month? Fear the Walking Dead?
You know, I'm not 100%.
I want to say it's next.
It's supposed to be a summer series, show,
but like summer is like ticking late. By, guys. Yeah,
I think it's only six episodes, the first
one. Oh, kind of like the first season of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The best season. Because it didn't want
to
go too long.
I think the idea is that there'll be like it'll be Fear the Walking Dead 2 weeks and then the new Walking Dead.
Oh, so what? It's just going to be August?
Pretty much, I'm thinking.
It's like tail end of July, August. Oh, hey, September. Let's start it up. I don't know. Kirkman just wants money.
Yeah.
Kirkman really likes money.
Well, you know how I know he really wants money? The first announcement he made in No Woods. He was like, yeah, No Woods.
You want to know how I know like Kirkman likes money?
Why?
He's on the writing staff for the Transformers movies.
No way.
Yeah.
Fear will be shot digitally as opposed to film, like The Walking Dead.
All the new Transformers movies, Kirkman's on the writing staff for them. They were like, hey, Kirkman, you want to write Transformers movies? He was like, do I get money? They're like, yeah. They're like, sure.
Maybe he's behind. Have you heard what's that Bumblebee appears in the next team? He is. Yes, the new Ninja Turtles are going to cross over with the Transformers movies.
But he is part of the writing group who are writing all the new Transformer movies because there's going to be a ton of them.
All right, so...
Because we need that.
Here's a Kirkman quote.
I just died a little inside.
Yeah. Let's see how Fear the Walking Dead goes first. Then we'll have 9 spinoffs, and that'll be great.
9 spinoffs.
I do hear the theme music for
Flash Gordon.
Yeah, which I wrote a really lovely article about. I don't know if you guys read it or not. But I did 6 80s sci-fi franchises that Tom Hardy should reboot, and this is one of them.
Flash.
Because I would watch Tom Hardy be Flash Gordon. I think it's written as
I'd
well.
I'd watch anyone be Flash Gordon, honestly.
I would. But I think Tom Hardy could bring a lot of service to the role.
I don't know.
Oh my god, it's the same person. But really, though, he should just play Snake Plissken in the remake of Escape.
See, I think Tom Hardy should stick with characters who don't really speak that much.
Which is why him and Snake Plissken sells itself.
Yeah, him and Snake Plissken would work, but him as Flash Gordon really wouldn't really work because Flash talks a lot.
Flash does talk a lot. Him, but you know he does a good job with his speaking roles, like in Inception.
But speaking of old movies that Kurt Russell was starring in, did you see that The Rock is remaking
Big Trouble in Little China? Why do you gotta broadcast my pain? Really?
Sorry.
It's rough.
Yeah. Oh, that is rough, though.
That is rough. You know what they should remake,
though? Such a... Well, you know, my only hope...
I love that movie, too, man.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
We would never get Mortal Kombat without that movie.
Ever.
Ever.
Right. That movie is so cheesy and bad,
It's so good, though. Yeah, it's so bad, it's good. That's one of the first
movies...
They don't
try to make it serious. Yes, I hope they let it be cheesy and bad.
Because that is one of the movies that was so bad, it's good. Like, yeah. it's
the
so cheap.
The little claymation of the guy's face blowing up
best.
And everything.
It is the best. There's so many ridiculous characters in that movie. That is so good. The movie is a hodgepodge of a child's imagination. Like, I feel like John Carpenter was like, every character I ever created as a child is going to be in this movie. And it's awesome. It is so awesome. Another movie on that list, speaking of John Carpenter, that I would like to see them remake is They Live.
They Live would be good.
With Tom as the main, as Roddy Piper, because he doesn't talk in that movie. All he does is try to get the guy to put on the glasses, and that's it.
I don't know. They just have to have that street fight.
They have to have the street fight, and they have to have him walk into the bank.
Yeah.
I came to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I am all out
of bubblegum.
That movie's awesome. That's a movie I would like to see now. With better acting. I hate to say this, the only thing that holds that movie back is the acting.
I've seen similar premise movies.
Yeah, but nothing is ever...
It's not a direct remake.
Did Roddy Piper not cut it for you?
No, man.
His acting skills
His acting skills
are
so bad.
And yeah, when I was
saying, having
like,
seen Mad Max, he could play that crazy guy really well.
It's a world...
Now, like, when...
Put on the glasses.
When I was like 8 years old and watched wrestling, Roddy Piper was like one of my favorite wrestlers.
Okay.
Like him and Hulk Hogan.
I love that fight scene. All 35 minutes of it.
So far.
Seriously, that fight scene is like a quarter of the movie. Yeah. It's just him trying to get him to put on the sunglasses.
Put on the stupid glasses.
It's the best. That's the only thing they say in that scene. They're just beating the snot out of each other. That's also one of the best fight scenes because it's so honest and that there's no special kung fu.
No.
There's no, like, sound.
It's
they're just
two
touching each other.
Beating the tar out of each
and
other.
Dirting each other in the car. Beating each other against walls.
By the end, they're moving
so slow. I love it. I just when you think the fight almost ends like five times.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Enough. Okay. Cool.
Punch in the face.
Yeah, it punches him. He's like,
okay.
My favorite though is like the third or fourth time the fight almost ends. Like, all right, enough. Okay. Just put on the glasses. What? Put on the glasses. No. And then they go at it again for like five more minutes. What? It's almost over. Why are we still doing this? By the end of the fight, it's so satisfying. You're just like, oh my god. Whew. I don't know if I could be here for this much longer and these guys fight. It's a great film.
And, you know, the fight is so pointless because if somebody said, just put on these glasses for a second.
You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, and if you beat me up and then tell me to put on the glasses, I'm going
to
be like,
at that point, okay. They had established the guy had started to lose his mind. And the guy was like, this guy's getting weird. I don't want it. Who knows? For all we know, he dipped the glasses in his butt and then he was trying to get people to put them on.
Butt glasses.
It's a great movie. That was John Carpenter at the top. Because that movie, Big Trouble Little China, Escape from New York, and The Thing are only like... And Halloween, they're only a handful of years apart. He did all of those in like the span of 6 years. And those are the classics. That is the best in the 80s.
Let's see. The Thing, that one's set in Antarctica or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
No, Alaska.
Alaska, yeah. And a research base or whatever.
Yes.
One thing I noticed about that movie, you know, especially watching a lot of movies nowadays, is how little product placement there is.
Yes. Because they're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, where are you going to put the product place for that?
Well, there's like a soda machine, I think, at one point.
Well, I mean...
But it's got no markings. No,
yeah. They drink a soda. They drink a bottle of whiskey. Yeah.
Yes.
There's oil.
There's no labels on anything.
Yeah. And they go out of their way to remove all the labels.
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, whenever you do see any kind of product, the labels turn around.
Yes.
And it's just so weird.
seeing it over there when it's all have a Coke.
But then seeing in Transformers where the Mountain Dew machine starts spinning out Mountain Dews,
shooting Mountain Dews at people.
Oh, when it starts raining Bud Light, you know, like they grab a Bud Light truck and shake it or something.
Oh yeah, they did a lot of product placement with the Transformers. I mean, the cars they are product placements.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was
one
so bad.
Really,
like,
really good car commercial.
The guy gets out one. You want to see my insurance? I'll show you my insurance. You know, pulls out a gun, then stops to open a beer. You know, and like, it has the drink of beer. It's like, it's so out of place, you know?
It's true. I do love the thing, though. One of my favorite games I've ever played, the game my dad made up based on that movie.
All right.
I guess him and his friends made it up.
I'll try.
We go to, like, a building, a lot, someplace you can rent out or whatever. Typically an abandoned building. And everyone draws little notes. And somebody gets the thing. And so you just have flashlights. The whole place is supposed to be pitch dark. And as the game goes on, the thing is going to go person to person. And as, if you're the thing, you have two choices. You can either kill the person, or you can let them become the thing, and then you go out. So throughout the night, you're trying to figure out who the thing is. And if you catch them, you'll be like, oh, are you the thing? And they can lie to you or whatever. You have the option to either try to kill them, and you could either kill somebody who's totally not the thing, or you can kill the thing. The game ends when the thing is dead. Or everybody else is dead.
So if you become somebody else and leave...
Yeah, there's like a waiting place. Like, we all go to wait until the game is over. But now whoever's the thing can pull somebody who's been killed. Like, there's, like, people who got killed by the thing, people who didn't get killed by the thing. If you're one of the people who got killed by the thing, you can get pulled back into the game. The person who's the thing can choose to pull one of you back in. And then you're the thing again. And so it's like, oh, hey, guys. I haven't seen you in, like, an hour. Where the hell have you been? Ah, dude, I've been wandering around. It's typically the most suspicious, but most people might believe you've been hiding the whole time. It's a ton of fun, and you don't have to buy anything to play the game. Just flashlights.
In an abandoned building.
In an abandoned building. But you can play it really anywhere. You can play it in your house. You can play it in, like, a lot. The whole point is to have rooms, though.
Warehouse.
Yeah. Wow. But it's a ton of fun.
Just make sure you have your tetanus shot.
Yes. Because you never know what you're going to get. Never gonna.
Let's run around this abandoned building in the dark. Trying to kill people. See what happens.
It's a lot of fun, though. I recommend it to anybody. If you could get a good location and enough people, probably like 10 people. 10 people is probably the most people you need. And it's a lot of fun. I've never won that game, though. The thing always wins. That is such a hard freaking game to figure out. People love to mess with it. Just like in the movie.
So how does
there's
the
all those people
win?
You think are the thing, and they never are.
How does the thing win?
Everyone dies. Everyone. Yeah, it kills everybody.
Well, when there's two people left, don't you know who the...
But how do you know it's only two people? Because this is what everyone does.
Okay, so it has to be dark. You can't possibly see everybody.
Yes, you can't possibly see everybody. And what most things do when it's down to him and the other person, they let other people come back for a second.
Pretty good. What do you know?
So say I'm the thing and Adam's out, and it's just me and you. I'm going to switch with Adam for a second. So you think there's still another person in the building. So you think it's got to be either Adam or me. But you can't quite figure it out if it's one of the two of us. And then I can go get somebody else who's also out, like Gomer. Now all of a sudden you've seen Gomer, me, and Adam. So you think there are way more people than just two of you. And you can see where that would make it difficult to think it's down at the two of you. Only the thing knows there's just two left. You now have no idea because you've seen three different people. You don't know it's been the thing the whole time. Which is how everyone plays that at the end. And it's so crappy. Like, okay, I've seen Adam, so Adam's still alive. Okay? I just saw Gomer, so Gomer's still alive.
How you win that game is kill everyone.
Yes.
Just kill everyone.
But how you win the game, if you have to figure out who the thing is. If you figure out who the thing is, you win. You don't have to per se kill the thing. And as long as you figure out who the thing is at the time they're the thing, bam, you win.
I'm going to kill you. Are you the thing? No? Okay.
Damn.
Dex.
But that's the other thing. The thing, you're helping the thing win, because the less people there are, the less chance it is of figuring out the thing.
How does the thing kill you?
It comes up to you, and it's just like...
There's like there's two stories in this battle.
How do you kill someone?
Some of them relate to the other books.
I think you're the thing. You're dead.
That didn't write their own
book. Oh, nope. Sorry. You just killed a normal person for no reason. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, you just
put the flashlight on them.
I just walk up. Bam. Everybody, I see. Hey, I'm killing you. Are you the thing? No? Okay.
Some people make it more complicated where there's, like, weapons you have to find. That's the super serious people. So some people have things hidden in the place that you can use to kill other people. Some people have it where you can't kill people off the bat, which makes the game way harder. Way harder. I played it that way. It was impossible. The thing won almost instantaneously. Because no one could kill anybody. You're like, so only the thing was offing people. You're like, oh, shit. Well, now I can't kill the thing, so the thing almost wins if you can't find where the stuff is.
I would give somebody, like, bullets or something. So you could only kill so many people.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did, is they had a Nerf gun. And the Nerf gun only had 6 shots. She's like, crap, I can't waste these. But if I get killed by the thing, then the thing has the only weapon in the game. And nope. That's exactly what happens. There was, like, 2 Nerf guns, and the thing ended up with both of them.
Yeah, if you're the thing, why not kill both?
Exactly. Are we running out of things to talk about? Oh, Jurassic World's coming out.
Yeah.
Friday. It looks good. Kind of, yeah.
Raptor Squad.
Chris Pratt on a motorcycle with raptors. I swear if I say motorcycle one more time, I'm going to cut off my small town. I don't think I'm really going to do that, guys. I don't think anyone should... If I do mention that thing again, I don't think I'm going to cut off.
What thing?
Those things. What the wheels. The things that look like bicycles.
Cars?
Bicycles?
Bicycles
that are cars.
Bicycles that are cars?
Mad Max?
Why are they cars? How is a bicycle car?
Cars have 4 wheels. Bicycles have 2.
A bicycle with an engine that powers the wheel? I hate you guys. You guys are awful.
Cycle? What?
RC. RC from the Transformers becomes one.
I've blocked out that movie thanks to my therapist.
The only RC I know is the pink one from the original Transformers.
You know, I think that person is really here, and my therapist has helped me to block them out. Like, I'm starting to think there's no way he's not here, and I'm just completely ignoring his existence, and it's easier that way. And that's why I keep hearing that word. I'm like, maybe they are right there, and I'm just blocking out their entire existence.
All right. Well, I did read an interesting comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier called Broken World. It's a 1-4.
Okay.
The premise is it starts out, an asteroid's about to hit the Earth in 48 hours.
Armageddon?
Alright, so they.
Bruce Willis? Ben Affleck?
No, they built a space elevator.
Okay.
And they have a base where these ships are putting people into cryosleep and evacuating. But they can't evacuate the entire population.
Of course not.
So they're choosing the best and the brightest, all the advanced degrees. They're eliminating anyone that has broken any kind of law whatsoever.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. And then out of the... They take the top so many, the politicians... they eliminate, the criminals and all that, and then the rest is a lottery.
Oh, no. Oh, that was a good story, the lottery. Anybody read that in elementary school?
Everybody read that in elementary
school. Pretty much the same thing. Wicker Man.
Wicker Man.
So, same thing.
The lottery.
So it starts off, characters trying to get a fake ID to sneak her way.
Ah, okay.
And,
held it all together.
So, and of course, the broken world is about what's left.
Right.
And of course, you know, there's all these people protesting.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And then, of course, there's a religious group saying it's God's will. And people can opt out of the lottery. You know, and those people have opted out. And they, the government has even legalized these suicide kits. Now, so.
Yeah, this is a rough bunch of... Is Alan Moore writing this?
He does have a new book coming out.
I know he does.
Providence or whatever, which is a 1 of 12. I haven't read that one. I did pick it up. I was going to wait till there was a few of them.
Yeah.
Just because he's a slow pace.
Yeah, it's a slow death. It's a slow death.
But
we can all agree with that.
So... It starts out, you know, and she's visiting this guy, get a fake ID, you know, and then she's a teacher, you know, and her husband is one of the officials running it, and he's going, and they're supposed to take the last lift up to the plane.
Not the only kind of cards we do are Magic the Gathering cards.
And so, I'm going to spoil something. Yeah, okay. Well, before I spoil anything, the whole premise is an asteroid's about to hit the Earth in 48 hours.
Okay, yes.
All right. Now, of course, there's a lot of setup you missed or whatever. Now, so.
What's that?
That's my fault.
Thank you.
Well, if you're drinking the Coke that says share with a sidekick, so you're
I'm
the
just
sidekick.
Not sharing with him.
Yeah.
I'm just an asshole. We had this conversation.
Oh, it actually does say share with your sidekick. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But
I'm just not sharing.
So the spoiler is the asteroid misses.
That's funny.
So, and then that's where the first comic ends.
Also, two people just walked in.
We don't deal with those. You might try.
J. Jonah Jesse?
Raven the Raven.
We have one rule for this podcast right now: no motorcycles.
And you just said it again.
I don't think my lungs have problems with that.
Yeah, I know you don't, but just
he can't stop saying the word. He has brought motorcycles at every time.
Yeah, I will say when I walked up, I was like, I don't see one of those today. That's how you do it, Jules. If you're trying to, you just say, "Yeah, I haven't seen one of them."
Even if it is just.
So
we're actually going to tell that person we moved after today. Like, hey, store's not there anymore.
How's that going to work?
I don't know, man.
I don't think we'll just
put like a big black veil in the store and like, yeah, we close.
That would stop the other. Yeah.
No.
That would stop business in general.
That would stop everybody else go around the other way.
Can we just stand out in front with bats and be like, no, you can't come in.
Now, we are a welcoming community here at Comic City 2.
Except for Jules.
Except for me.
Because fuck Jules.
Why is that a constant part of my life? Like, at every turn, one of my group of friends, that joke starts and it never ends.
The fuck Jules joke? That's not a joke. That's life.
Yeah. Jeez.
Seems like you would, like, realize that every group of friends does that and maybe change something about yourself, but...
No, I just go to the next group of friends and wait until they catch on and then go to the next group.
Like someone has said to Taylor Swift, maybe it's you.
Somebody said something to Taylor Swift that's relevant to me. I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh yeah, you guys missed little Alan Moore. I pitched a show earlier.
Oh yeah. Well, maybe if you called me and said you were actually going to do this today.
Well, I figured you would normally message me because
you know, the funny thing is,
today,
like,
and
the
I was
other
like,
week,
oh,
Taylor
I guess,
was here. Well, like, where's Adam and Jules?
See, hey, I gave up on this one because. For when I text you at like 11, you don't respond till the next morning, and it's usually,
you know,
nope,
I'm
can't go.
I'm still here doing the podcast, guys. you know, I host this for you, the loyal listeners.
But in all fairness, Larry, what is a podcast without making fun of me?
Yeah.
Even I know that.
I'll
tell
you,
obviously.
We can make fun of you without you here.
Yeah, it's true, and we do.
But it's not as funny because you don't get to see my stupid face when you do it.
We don't get to see your stupid face anyway, because it's a podcast. We all just hear it.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah. This is like one of those jokes that is very visual, and the person listening doesn't understand.
Yeah, and they just really don't know how stupid your face is.
It's pretty dumb, guys. You can check out my Facebook, and it's pretty dumb. Specifically, my Facebook profile picture right now is very dumb. I'm making a really dumb face with my girlfriend's looking really pretty, and then you see me making a really dumb face. Oh, we're already there.
Yeah.
Wow. That was nice. We didn't explain anything to
Jules
anybody.
Is a dumb face.
Fuck Jules.
Nidalee.
See, now that's an particularly awful bitch.
You dirty, awful bitch.
Nah, Hughes was the bitch.
I hope you get lupus. That's my final thought. I hope you get lupus.
Really specific.
And Secret Wars is incredible, and I hope you get lupus.
Yeah.
And possibly...
And I hope you get lupus.
The clap. Because what? When was the last time you heard about anyone getting lupus or the clap?
Polio is making a comeback.
No one talks about the... No one talks about the clap because you just got to get some like penicillin and call it a day.
Yeah, you know what? You don't get penicillin. So,
what was the kids group that had the song? I've got the clap and I'm giving it to you. Yeah. You know?
Phrasing.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
That's great.
YouTube that.
Yeah. That is a real kids video, too.
That's fantastic.
I got the clap and I'm giving it to you.
Wow. Who gave all those little kids the clap?
Ronnie.
It's like who gave him the clap.
Yeah.
It's like that skit on Chappelle's
Show. Little Alan Moore. That's who gave him the
clap. Little Alan Moore. Yes, no, you miss... Oh, Little Alan Moore is going to be a great series about how Alan Moore has hated everything his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, that probably was funny, but I missed it because one of my friends never calls me or texts me. One of my best friends...
Are we going to do Little Alan Moore, the comic book, or...
We're gonna make it into
fuck
a movie.
Jules the movie.
Because he'll never go see it. If we make it a movie, Alan Moore will never go see it.
Little Alan Moore.
That is a great question. It's got to be somebody with the biggest beard you've ever seen. Because Little Alan Moore has got to have, and he's got to be really skinny and really short.
Peter Dinklage.
Also has to be in the first grade.
Yeah, he's got to be in the first grade. Not that little. He's got to be in the first
different
grade.
Different form a little.
I guess we could just get a fake beard. We'll just get a child who looks really surly. And just get him to stare at walls and just be like, good. And that's it.
You know he'd be good for that, but is too old now. The kid from The Shining.
Oh, yeah, he would have been a great little Alan Moore. You get the kid to play Damien in all the Omen movies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's a kid no more.
Elijah Wood could be little Alan Moore.
Alright, well,
staring at walls all day and saying good.
Come join us next week, Comics D2, recording at noon every Wednesday, live and open to the public. Check us out at comicsd2.com on Facebook.
Also
Google
check
Plus, Twitter, Tumblr, blah, blah,
we
blah,
got Google
blah.
Plus?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
What's Google Plus?
Do we have a MySpace?
Yeah, we're
too?
On iTunes.
We are on LinkedIn.
Also check out outrightdegree.com.
Because we're a business. So
we are a business. We're on LinkedIn, guys.
All
right. Yes, check out outrightgeekery.com. Check out our Twitter. What's the other thing that we have? We have other things. Facebook. Hang out with us on the internet and watch us complain.
What happened to the days of having a website being enough? Come on.